God is awesome. In just 6 weeks, God has made history. And I want to commend us for our generous hearts. And I know the money still needs to be coming in. Because I know several of us made pledges and we've not given the whole amount. And I'm excited to see what's going to be happening in the next several months. We're going to be collecting this till September. But this is exciting. I'm fired up. And God is just awesome. Go ahead and be turning your Bibles to John chapter 6. Again, I think we need to give our brother Grubb a huge round of applause. I like the volcano. That's awesome. And so we will obviously continue to update us as the weeks go on, but we're not going to be using the thermometer anymore. It served its purpose. And he said it's broken, so we will, as we collect the missions contribution, we'll flash the numbers up on the screen. Amen?
Amen.
Let's bow down heads and let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for being our God. We want to thank you, God, for being a God who does much more than we can ask or can even imagine. Father, we thank you, God, for allowing us, Father, to be able to give generously towards other churches in Africa and towards our building fund. Father, I will pray that you will replenish the monies that we've given to you. Father, we know it all belongs to you anyhow. I pray, Father, that every day we'll walk by faith and not by sight. Because you are a God who knows everything. Nothing is impossible with you, Heavenly Father. And I pray, God, that every day you will continue to increase our faith. Father, we love you. Bless us now as we look into your word. We ask and we pray all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. John chapter 6. Tonight, very quickly, I want to talk about what lessons can we learn from the feeding of the 5,000? What lessons can we learn from the feeding of the 5,000? This miracle that Jesus performed is actually the only miracle you will find recorded in all four Gospels outside of the resurrection. Okay, the resurrection was also a huge miracle, but outside of the crucifixion account and the resurrection, this is the only miracle that we find in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That tells me that it's very important. Again, not to diminish the fact that other things were mentioned maybe just once, but when God takes the time to repeat himself and to fill in the entire story, there's a lot to learn from that passage. And I think this passage is in here, obviously, for a very, very important reason. And so let's read together the account in John, beginning in John chapter 6. It says in verse 1, sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up to a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy food for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will this go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place. And the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely, this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew to a mountain by himself. Tonight, we're talking about what lessons can we learn from the feeding of the 5,000. Look in the account in Matthew 14. Hold your place in John 6. We're going to come back here, but look in Matthew 14. In Matthew chapter 14, beginning verse 13. This is right after John the Baptist has been killed. It says, "When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick." The first thing that we can learn from the feeding of the 5,000 is the compassion of Jesus. I wanted us to go into Matthew to read that account because John didn't talk about that. And the first thing you do when you see a story in the Bible is to go read all the accounts of it to get a whole picture. But you see, it tells us in Matthew that when Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. We're talking about a God who cares about us. I know a lot of times when things don't work out or things are not working out the way we want them to, we sometimes wonder if God cares. Sometimes even, we may even question if God really loves us or cares about us. Because when hard things happen, one of the first things Satan does is to get you and I to start questioning God. Because we feel like, you know what? If God sees my condition, why is he allowing me to go through this? But he says here that Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. And I think for you and me, it should be very comforting that Jesus notices what's going on in our lives. He noticed what was going on with the crowds. And if you go read all the accounts, it tells us that these people had been with him the entire day. And so we're talking about around evening time here, where he'd been preaching and teaching and healing the sick according to the scriptures. And the Bible says his heart went out to them. He had compassion. And whether you believe it or not, regardless of what is going on, God has compassion on you. God is not oblivious to your situation. God sees what you're going through. As a matter of fact, he knows the challenges that you and I are going to face tonight, tomorrow, this weekend, next week, next month, the rest of the year, years to come. But he has compassion on us. That is the kind of God that we serve. That is the kind of God that we call on every single day. And I think it ought to bring us a lot of comfort that no matter what happens, no matter how bad things get, you're talking about a God who cares deeply about us because he has compassion on us. And then, go back to the account in John. We're told that Jesus said to Philip, Jesus looked up and saw a crowd coming toward him and said to Philip, Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" In verse 6, the Bible says he asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Jesus can count. He saw the crowd. As a matter of fact, another account tells us that somebody said, "You know what, hey, these people have been here all day. We need to send them to the nearby villages so that they can go buy themselves something to eat. And obviously also probably look for some lodging. The Bible says there were 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Several scholars believe that the crowd was about 12,000 to 15,000 people. And you can imagine all day long they've been sitting there listening, seeing some people healed and stuff. And he says, hey, we need to give these guys something to eat. And our disciples say, well, we need to send them off to go buy some food. You see, it's easy to spot the problem. Anybody can see. You got thousands of people. They've been with you all day. You know, you got to feed them. And again, sometimes I bring this up because as Christians, we're very good in spotting the problems. We don't need any education to do it. It just happens naturally. But the question is, do we see the solution? You see, God was testing them because he already had in mind what he was going to do. God will test us also. He already has the solution in mind. Whatever issue you're going through, whether it's a job loss, or, you know, all of a sudden, here we are in the heat of the summer, your air conditioner breaks. And then you make that phone call and they tell you, dude, it's going to cost $4,000. And you're like, man, I didn't budget for this. Or your heater, you know, needs to be replaced. All of a sudden, you're looking at a $1,000 bill. I was talking to a brother the other day. It was like one thing after the next breaking down in his house. One thing after the next. And I try to encourage him and say, bro, I know when it rains, it just seems like sometimes it's pouring. But God will fix this. Are you with me? But you see, God will test us. But he already has in mind the solution to our problems. Notice that huge crowds and huge problems don't scare Jesus. They never have. I don't know about you. I mean, I don't know exactly how many we have in the room tonight. I don't know, maybe 100. All of a sudden, oh, Richard, you got to feed all these guys. Well, there's a Wendy's down the road. In that direction, in this direction, there's Boston Market, there is Chick-fil-A, there is Papa John's, what else? A Waffle House, okay? I mean, between all those, you know, restaurants that I just named, within 2 minutes of here, we can feed everybody in this room. I want you to imagine, we're not seated here though, when some faraway place sit on some grass, and you guys have been sitting listening to me all day long, and you didn't bring your dinner because I didn't ask you to. And it's time to get fed. I said, you know what? I got this. You got nothing to worry about. I'm the Messiah. What you got over there? Some loaves? Let me have them. And that's what Jesus did. Huge problems and huge crowds don't scare Jesus. And again, this ought to be very comforting because Jesus has never been overwhelmed by a situation. Never. Whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is I'm going through, God is not overwhelmed by it. You may feel, wow, I need to grow in my marriage. I don't know if this is going to, you know, man, we're having so much problems. Let me tell you something. That situation doesn't overwhelm the Lord. Amen? The God that you and I call on has all the power. He's omnipotent. He knows everything. He's omniscient. And as a result of that, he has all the solutions. If we will simply go to him. Are you with me? Like I said earlier, like Philip, most of us, we can see the problem and even attempt to analyze it. I mean, the guy is very smart. You know, he does the math in his head. Remember, they didn't have any calculators back then. He goes, you know what? 8 months' wages. It's not enough to buy enough bread such that people can have a bite. Notice what he said. He didn't say that they would be satisfied. For them just to have a bite. 8 months' wages was not going to do it. And a lot of times that's what we do when we go through stuff in our lives. We're already sitting there trying to analyze what God needs to do. You can't solve God's problems for him. If anything, whatever it is that you and I are going through, he's allowing it to happen to test us. Because he already knows what he's going to do. Amen? But you say, well, I want to be in a situation where, you know, I don't have any problems. You know, everything is just fine. And, you know, everything is just wonderful. Okay? Like I've said before, that day is coming. It's called heaven. It's not here. While we're here, there will be situations we got to go through. There are needs that we're going to have. So that God can turn around and meet those needs. When we get to heaven, he's already going to be there. We're going to be with him forever. I mean, do you think we're going to have any needs in heaven? Interesting question. I don't know. But he'll be there. I'm just looking forward to a place where everything is perfect. Your car doesn't break down. You know how it is. You're driving that car to work, and all of a sudden you start hearing some funny sound. And you're like, you got to be kidding me. And you're hoping against all hope that it's something small. But something deep down inside of you tells you, this one is going to cost you. And then you go, you know, you make it to the mechanic. You're like, okay. And you hold your breath. Okay, what's going on? And they take it for a test drive or whatever. They turn the car and you say, oh, man, your drive shaft is gone. That even before they tell you the price, it sounds expensive. What do you mean drive shaft? Well, that's the thing that holds the wheels together from going from front to back and say, okay, give me, lay it on me. And then if you're fortunate, you know, if the mechanic knows you or whatever, okay, because it's you, I'm going to give you a discount on the labor. But I can't really do much on the part. All that stuff, you know, add it all together, is going to cost you $1,200. Lord have mercy. That's a lot of money. But you got to lay it out if you're going to keep driving that car. Things like that happen. The water heater will bust, or your air conditioner, something will go wrong. But God knows what he's doing. Don't be overwhelmed by the problem. Amen? Amen? Jesus says, you give them something to eat. I like that. He says, you give them something to eat. Well, Lord, it's one's wages cannot do this. Remember, Jesus had performed several miracles prior to this point. I would like to believe that the reason why they didn't think that Jesus was going to do a miracle over here was, you know, he's probably never multiplied food before. Now, they've seen the wine done. They saw him way in the beginning turning water into wine at the wedding at Cana. And you would think, at least these 12 guys, the apostles, one of them figured out, you know what? Hey, he turned water into wine. Hey, Lord, here's some loaves. Here's some fish. Multiply it. Nobody was thinking like that. But you see, God continues to do miracles, different kinds of miracles throughout the Gospels and in our lives every single day. The fact that you've never seen that before doesn't mean God doesn't have the power to accomplish it. And I think that's part of the lesson here. Jesus always has a better idea. Always. He says, you give them something to eat. Again, the disciples should have remembered all the prior miracles that Jesus had done up to this point. There is nothing new, basically, that God cannot do. Nothing. Let's go back to John chapter 6. Jesus said in verse 10, have the people sit down. Okay? If you're going to feed 12 to 15,000 people, the first thing you got to do is get organized. Okay? You can't hand them, you know, line up and then be dishing out the stuff. You're going to be there all night. It says, let them sit down in groups. And other accounts tells us that they sat down in groups of 50s. Okay? And Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, And he did several things. He gave thanks. He thanked God first. Now, we don't know how long the prayer was. We don't know what he asked for or what he was thanking God for. I would like to believe that he was thanking God for feeding all these people. But he thanked God. He took the limited resources they had and he multiplied it. There's a lesson here, people. You know, when you're right in the middle of the storm, when something is not going right or, you know, something unexpected has just happened, okay, you have limited resources. Amen. Even if you don't have anything, I think we need to get on our knees and thank God for answering our prayers and for solving that problem for us, even before it happens. Remember, it's not as if Jesus multiplied the food and then he started giving thanks. He gave thanks. And he believed God had already done it. And then the Bible says he distributed the 5 loaves and the 2 fish to the disciples, who in turn gave it to the people. You know, I wish, again, I don't know what it's going to be like on the other side. But one of the things I want to do when we get to the other side is ask God, can you show me a DVD of when this happened? I mean, I want you to imagine what's going on here. Jesus got 5 loaves and 2 fish, okay? And he grabs them and he starts giving them to, take some and take some and take some and take some and take some. Gives it to the 12 guys. And they, in turn, as they turn around, as they're giving it to people, the thing is just multiplying. I want you to imagine that, what's going on. Believe me, the people that were in, you know, the groups way back from where Jesus was standing, they had no idea where the food was coming from. It was just, as it was getting passed on, it just continued to multiply. It just continued to multiply. It just continued to multiply. And again, I don't know if you notice stuff like this. In all 4 accounts, there's no account of them drinking any water. It says they ate and were satisfied. I don't know about you. When I'm eating stuff that I really like and it's going down, at some point I got to drink me some water to push it down and so that I can continue to consume. You know what I'm saying? That's what water is meant for. Is to push down the solids. That's what I use it for anyhow. But there's no account of these guys drinking any water. They're just eating, man. They're just having a good time. Bread and fish, man. Bring it on. They said they were satisfied. Amen. It wasn't like, okay, I had 2 slices and, man, I'm still hungry. Mm-mm. They were satisfied. This was not a la carte. This was buffet style. All you can eat. The first fish fry in the Bible. That's what God did on this day. Amen? But see, with the limited resources, God multiplied it. The Bible says Jesus provided as much as they wanted. They all ate and were satisfied. You know how it is when you've eaten and you're satisfied? You know exactly what I'm talking about. There are times when, you know, you eat something and 10 minutes later, I'm still hungry. And you go back in the refrigerator. It's like, is there anything else we can eat? Are you with me? That didn't happen on this day. Everybody ate and was satisfied. God is not only going to meet your need, he will go beyond. Amen? Jesus met their need and then some. So much so that in Mark chapter 6, verse 43, in that account, the Bible tells us that they picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces. I'm like, where did the baskets come from? I'm probably somebody, you know, some people have some baskets. I mean, that many people, I'm sure there were some baskets around. 12 baskets full of broken pieces. I mean, we're talking leftovers. People had so much to eat, you know, at some point they just started to leave, you know, drop the bread on the floor. And the fish and the bones. It was so much. Okay, we're not going to let anything go to waste. We don't know what they did with the leftover, but they picked up everything. That's amazing to me. But see, that's what God will do for you. That's what God will do for me as his children, because he cares, because he has compassion on us. The point is, God will take our limited resources if we will take them to him. A lot of times, again, when things go wrong in our lives, we're looking at our limited resources and just crying and complaining and not trusting. take those limited resources and say, God, I need you here. I need you to take this little stuff I've got and I need you to multiply it. Father, I have no idea how you're going to do this. Father, I need your help. And you watch what happens. But you got to take the resource, you got to take those limited resources, you got to take them to him. Amen? You remember what it says in Zechariah 4:6? It's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, declares the Lord. The limited resources that we think we have or we don't have, God will take it and multiply it. It's amazing to me. There is no problem too large that God cannot handle. Now, there's a foreshadow of this miracle actually in the Old Testament. Look in 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. There's a foreshadow of this miracle in the Old Testament. In the life of Elisha, the prophet. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse 42. It says, a man came from Baal Shalishah, bringing the man of God 20 loaves of barley bread baked from the first ripe grain, along with some heads of new grain. Give it to the people to eat, Elisha said. How can I set this before 100 men? His servant asked. But Elisha answered, give it to the people to eat. For this is what the Lord says, they will eat and have some left over. Then he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over according to the word of the Lord. Okay? In this situation, we got 12 loaves of barley bread. The Bible says baked with the first ripe grain along with some new heads of grain. 12 loaves, 100 men. I don't know about you. Depending on how hungry I am, I can eat one loaf of bread just by myself. Why are you guys snickering? You can do the same thing, okay? I'm not the only person in the room that can do that. All right? A 100 men were fed with 12 loaves and they had left over. The miracle Jesus performed in the New Testament and in all four Gospels in the feeding of the 5,000 is very similar to this. Again, notice the servant's, Elisha's servant's response. Are you kidding me? I'm supposed to put 12 loaves in front of 100 grown men? And say, Elisha says, let's go do it. And look at what God did. Are you with me? Again, whatever the resources are, God will multiply them. Amen? Now look in Ephesians chapter 3, a passage you're very familiar with. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. The Bible says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Paul says right here, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or can even imagine. I don't know about you. I can ask for a lot. I got a long list. I don't know what your prayer list is like. Mine is not short. Mine is very, very long. Yours needs to be very, very long too, because there's so many needs that you have in your life. There's so many needs that, you know, other Christians have in their lives that we all need to be praying for, not only in this congregation, but all over North America, in Africa, in all our brothers and sisters around the world. There are so many needs. But it tells us here that God is able to do immeasurably more than all that stuff we're going to be asking for. I remember, I guess early this year, as I was talking about the treasure principle and how we need to trust God with our finances, that it all belongs to Him anyhow. And after much prayer, I just said, you know what? We need to give 10 times our weekly contribution. Again, you do the math, that's $100,000. We'd never done anything like that before in this church. Never. We didn't come close, not even close to that number. It was done by faith. I believe, honestly, God was sitting up there going, oh, I'm going to show them. And it's amazing to start hearing the stories when, you know, people say, okay, that's what I'm going to do. All of a sudden, God started providing. You know, people started getting monies that they were not expecting. You know, things just started happening. That was God doing it. And I know many of us gave more than 10 times our regular weekly contribution. And I praise God for that. But over and over again, God continues to show us that He is the God who does more than we can ask or can even imagine. Again, I don't know about you. I have a very vivid imagination. You know, there are a lot of times during the day, believe it or not, I am daydreaming. Is it Richard, you daydream? Yes, I do. It's not personal stuff. It's stuff about the kingdom of God. It's stuff I want to see God do in this church and in my life while I'm still on this earth. These are the kind of things I think about and I pray about and I dream about. But it says right here in Ephesians 3 that God is able to do immeasurably more than all of that. And because of that, you know, it gives me confidence every single day to put things before Him. And so again, tonight, I'm not sure what your situation is. What you're praying about or what you want God to do for you. I'm here to tell you, it is not too big for God. But you got to take it to Him. But you say, Rich, I've been praying about this for years now. And so I stopped. Well, you need to continue praying about it. Like you've heard me say so many times, the only time you stop praying about something is when God answers you. And there are times you can get four different answers. But you need to continue to pray. Now, once God has provided for you, then you need to start praying about that thing. Okay, God, I need a new car. Fine. God has given you a new car. Please, let's pray about something else. You don't keep praying. Okay, God, I need a new car. God says, can you give me a break? I just gave you one yesterday. Are you with me? But you see, there's so many things that we need to be praying about. Whether it's the health of a family member, whether it's to be able to lead somebody to the Lord personally and to be fruitful, whether it's even as basic as finding somebody to study the Bible with. Some of us have not done that in a long time. But if you don't take it to God, it's not going to happen. It will be your flesh doing the work, not the Spirit of God. Are you with me? But see, we always got to take everything back to the Almighty. God will not only meet our needs, but will lavish us with so much stuff to the point of overflowing. That's the kind of God that we're talking about. That is the kind of God that we serve. Amen? The faith that you and I have in this God is not misplaced, brothers and sisters. It's not. And it never will be. And so, again, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not God. So I don't know what's going on in your life personally. But I know in a room this large, there is stuff going on. But do not despair. Okay? The feeding of the 5,000 is in the Bible for a reason. So here's what I'd like for us to do in the next 10 minutes. And then we'll be dismissed. Is to find somebody. Brothers, find another brother. Sisters, find a sister. And very quickly, share with each other something that you need, that you want God to do for you. And then pray for each other about that thing. And as we leave this place, continue to pray for that person about that situation. Are you with me? Because God not only answers, I believe God will answer. And God will do much more than you're asking for. It may be a health issue. It may be a financial thing. It may be a spiritual thing. Whatever it is. But put it before the Lord. And if you want to pray with your husband or your wife, that's fine too. But I want us to do it quietly in the next 10 minutes. And then after that, I'll come up here and I'll say a closing prayer and then we'll be dismissed. But whatever it is we need, whatever it is we want from God, we got to put it before Him. Amen? And so let's go ahead and do that. And I'm going to head back there and find my wife. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for tonight. We're grateful, God, for being our God. Thank you for being there every single day, every single hour, every single minute. We thank you, God, that you have not left us in this world as orphans, but that we have your Holy Spirit living inside of us. Father, we've put so many prayers and requests before you tonight. Father, we ask you, God, that you will come and do much more than we've asked tonight or can even imagine. Come and increase our faith. Come and help us to know you better. Help us to walk by faith, Lord, and not by sight. We love you, Lord. We thank you, God, for this opportunity that we've been able to have to approach you tonight. Father, keep us safe the rest of this week. As we gather again on Sunday, please bring us back safely. We ask all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed.